Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." At times it seems to me like some people only recite the first part of that, but I think I found that you have to kind of ponder it and pray over it. But let's continue here. I'd like to take a minute here and just read something from an Adrian Rogers book. It's entitled New Every Morning. And it's something a little about Martin Luther here. Martin Luther led the Protestant Reformation and was a man of great faith. But he, like some of us, was given to fits of despondency and depression. He got his eyes on the circumstances rather than on God. There in his room, he was brooding in a state of melancholy. He wouldn't come out. His wife, Katerina, tried to coax him out of the room, but he wouldn't move. So one day, she put on a black dress, a black hat, a black veil over her face, and black gloves. And she came into that room. She was dressed for a funeral, and he looked at her and asked, "Who has died?" She said, "Martin, haven't you heard? God is dead." He said, "That's blasphemy." And she replied, "Yes, and it's blasphemy for you to be living here like he is dead." Well, there's some truth to that. So, in response to this experience, though, Luther wrote the well-known hymn, A Mighty Fortress. Now, in Adrian's book here, he's got two questions down here at the bottom. What kind of things tempt you to take your focus off of Jesus and put them on the world around you? And how do you typically respond to these situations? So, last week, I tried to make a point that with all the things going on now, I mean, there's wars, there's rumors of a world war, there's protests against Israel, etc., 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 you know. And we tend to lower our eyes and start to look around at the sin and all the chaos and the craziness that's all around us instead of keeping our eyes on Jesus. We need to remember we have a hope, and our hope is in Jesus Christ, and he's on his throne. So we should raise up our eyes again and remember God's word. God's word is a promise. For whom he did foreknow. No, I'm going to start down here. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine, and to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the first born among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine them, he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, in my Bible, there's a little heading right here. The Spirit assures us of final victories. It goes on. What shall we then say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, and even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, not things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So let's pray here. Lord Jesus, we need you. We can't do this without you. We're all sinners in a fallen world. Forgive us as we repent. And Lord, lead us on that narrow path to that narrow gate, all for your glory. Amen.